So, we're on this journey of life and all that goes with it, right? But within that larger journey, some of us are on another journey, a journey of freelance creative, free range creative, professional services, consulting, whatever you call it, that's what we're doing. Now, if you're in the midst of that yourself, or you're looking to make the jump, I think this episode's for you. Now, spoiler alert, my boy Trevor Williams is back in the house, ready to, you know, add his voice to the convo that we're about to have. So this is going to be a good one. You're going to want to stay right here. Trevor, it's been way too long, my friend. I can't believe that, what was it, like episode 60 maybe? I mean, that's 13, 14 episodes ago. And yeah. You might say, oh, well, that's 14 weeks ago, which is a long time. But it's actually longer because, you know, with this whole being a full-time contractor thing, you know, I thought I'd have more time for this, but it's like I've got less. So,
yeah,
this episode will be coming out, you know, more than 2 weeks after the last one. So we've slowly been kind of slipping.
Ramping down instead of ramping up.
Yeah, but this is going to be a double episode. We're going to get a two-parter with Trevor. And so we're going to catch right up.
Awesome. Well, let's do it. Let's get into it. Thank you for having me.
But yeah, we kind of in our pre-interview conversation kind of queued this up a little bit, just like what it's like to be a full-time contractor in 2024 after we've experienced, you know, layoffs, the slowdown in the economy, the tech market is getting
AI, hit everything
pretty good. You know, if companies, businesses are like, okay, where can we cut? Well, maybe it's this SaaS tool that we pay, you know, $20,000 a month to, and we'll go back to spreadsheets for a little while until we, you know, can dig ourselves or save ourselves out of this downturn in the economy. So it's hard out there. And you and I are blessed to have some work, and hopefully maybe some of the things we can share will help those listening. And we can help each other, because I think there's definitely things that you do better than I do and vice versa, and we learn from each other. So with that being said, just to kind of, and I'm doing all the talking so far, I apologize. Just to kind of jump into where we were leaving off on our kind of pre-conversation, you know, you asked a question right there towards before we hit record, and do you remember what that question was?
Yeah, so I mean, more or less, we were talking about freelancing and contracting, and we were talking about various ups and downs we've had, but lately I've been mostly curious about I've had times where I've had contacts come and go. Or because of the turn of the, you know, tech layoffs and other things, I've had contacts. I've been constantly just having, all my work's been referral, which has been great. Yeah. It's been good and bad. It's had good moments where people I've worked with, even though my contacts and references have moved on, they continue to work with me. Sometimes that's been beneficial, and sometimes it's also been kind of nightmarish. Things have fallen into limbo, and I'm still hunting down invoices that are always cringy. That's like one of the hardest points, is constantly asking for like invoices to be paid or anything like that. But then on top of that, it's also been beneficial because they go and I spread my seeds out and I get more work, right? But so how do you, but I've always been constantly, like I said, catching work through referral instead of
Yeah.
You know, so I've only been fishing in the same, for like the same clients, like the same rain. I called it rainbow trout. When I also want to try to start fishing now for some Alaskan salmon, to say, like, I just know that there's a whole variety of things, and I haven't been preparing myself in ways. Like, I'm still resetting up my website, and I haven't been able to finish it because I'm constantly getting a lot of not to any credit. I'm grateful for all the work I'm getting. I'm just saying, of course, there's bigger clients. Like, there's that. I've had enough rainbow trout. I'm ready for some Alaskan salmon, but I can't go fishing for it because I haven't built all the tools, and I'm constantly busy. Like you were saying, we've had a big break between last time we've talked, and it's because, man, I'm constantly busy, and not just constantly busy. I'm always, my hat's tipped into more things than I typically do. Like sometimes I'm doing slide decks instead of animation, right? And none of that's fun or sexy, but it's like, they're paying me to do it. So let's just get it done. And you're wearing multiple hats. Yeah, I'm like, opening InDesign for the first time since college. You know, I mean,
it sounds like we underutilized you at MX. We could have had you dust off InDesign a lot sooner. No, just kidding. But yeah, no, and that's the exact problem I'm starting to run into as well, is where you got to pay the bills, you need a certain amount of money to, you know, provide for your family and keep a roof over your head and all that good stuff. And so it's easy to fall into the trap of like just spending time on servicing your current workload of clients. It's like, and then, you know, you've been through the drill where everything's a fire drill a lot of times. Like they come to you with like, you know, I know we said we had 2 weeks on this, but actually we need it, you know, in by the end of this week, or you know, here's this new project, but I need it like yesterday. And it's easy for us to think, well, that's more money and I'm going to be able to, you know, pay the bills this month if I take this on. Yeah, I'm going to lose some sleep and I'm going to have to kick my work on my stuff down the road, my website or whatever. And so, you know, what do you do? And I'm not professing to have all the answers, but I've listened to people that do have some good answers to this question, and I've tried some of it out myself, and it's working. And that is, you know, we got to be intentional with our time and time management, and then also start to create kind of limits on how much work we're going to do with a specific client. Now, if you've got a full-time job or commitment, then, you know, there's not much you can do with that. You know, that's already, let's say, 30 hours a week or something, and that, you know, that's what you signed up for. And yeah, you could, just like any other job, kind of segue away from that, but that's scary too. But I think, because to your point about people leaving, or, you know, being let go or leaving on their own dime or whatever, that can happen. And the worst thing that we can do is have all of our eggs in just a couple of baskets, and then all of a sudden that gets disrupted, and then we're starting from scratch again. And like you mentioned, we don't have our website. We haven't been doing anything really online or in other channels to start to kind of build that mind share, or what's the term? Just kind of become that expert on these things in the minds of potential customers of yours. So, so I think it's like, you know, I've got 5 or 6 clients or whatever, and the most I can do for any one client is 10 hours a week or whatever, and I've got a cap of that. And, and you know, maybe there's a magic number where that is, but then okay, if I've got 5 clients at 10 hours a week, that's 50 hours a week. That's already more than a normal full-time job by itself. But you and I know that to be successful, and especially if you know, our spouse isn't maybe working full-time because they're going to school or they're, you know, at home with young kids or whatever, you need more than the normal full-time income. And so maybe you've told yourself you can work 60, 70 hours a week, but I think if we can take that 50 hours and make it just for client work, and then we carve out time, like, okay, every Tuesday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. is when I'm going to put together some social media posts, or and then every Wednesday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m., I'm going to send out 10 LinkedIn, direct LinkedIn messages to people that are warm leads, and just be like, you know, hey, I see you got a new job. Congratulations. Let me know if you ever need any of these type of services. I've got some availability and wish you the best, or whatever the game plan is. Even when you're slammed and you're like, the last thing I want is for that person to engage me and say, hey, I got work for you. But that's the way to stay busy and keep those pools kind of full, so that when that one client goes bankrupt or your contact leaves, and then you've got others to pull from. And then one more note on that is something I heard from Gary Vee, probably seen him on the social medias, talking about the biggest mistake that he thinks that young businesses, new businesses make. And I would say even as an individual sole proprietor person, we fall into this trap, is that we wait too long to hire or get help, get a subcontractor, whatever. So I think even though we're like, no, I need to keep the money to myself because I've only got so much coming in, it's actually just like when you're training a new designer that comes into your organization, it's like, yeah, it's going to take a little longer. You're going to not be as profitable in the short term, but very quickly now you have this network where it's like, okay, I was going to say no to this project, and I'm able to charge $150 an hour to this company because they just really need the work. I can have this other person do it for $100 an hour, and then I can pocket that $50 an hour that I wouldn't have normally had. So if I didn't have this kind of network.
Yeah, you bring up a good point that I want to quickly address. So you're not, when you subcontract, how often are you trying to actually work that into your project proposals up front versus, okay, time is, because I find that most of the time, sometimes the clients kick the project can down the road to the point where initially they're like, yeah, we're going to have a whole month on this. And then I find, oh, actually we only have a week now, and it's all on you, and you're killing yourself out with 120 hours in a week or something to get something that should have taken that long over a month, you know, done in a week. And yet they're not willing to budge on the budget in a week. And so it's like, how can you get a subcontractor and do that? So how often do you try to just take the hit and get a subcontractor, or have that worked in up front? I'm curious. And then I have more questions from what you just said as well, but let's start with that.
Cool. So I think, you know, and this is something we talked offline a little bit about, is kind of the importance of taking care of money in the beginning, making sure that your client has some skin in the game. Because if you're just like, hey, we need this and we need it in a month and da 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 da.
It's something I don't do enough of, is get skin in the game up front. Like,
Right. And that's crucial.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
I need to practice that more than ever before because, I need more skin in the game, I think, up front, because then they're also willing to make sure that you finish in ways that versus that they're willing to just say, you know what, I think we've gone far enough, let's drop it. And then you're not getting paid, you know?
Well, yeah, because then that way they have some motivation to kind of light a fire under themselves to get you what you need so you can complete it in time. Because if they said, here's a month, but you've insisted initially, like, yeah, we can't start until I get 50% up front. And they're like, okay, we'll just do it because we know we're going to need this. And then they wait 3 weeks to get you what you need. Well, you've already been paid 50%. You're kind of in a driver's seat now. You're like, well, I was supposed to have 4 weeks for this. You've already paid me 50%. I need an extra week, or I need some rush budget because I'm going to need to pull in some other help on this, you know, because I literally don't have the time. Like if I hit render right now, it's going to take a week and there's nothing to render or something, whatever it is. There's like real consequences to waiting that long. The key there, definitely get skin in the game in the beginning. And then it's also, you know, work on getting your hourly rate to a place where there's room for a subcontractor, you know. And that's easier said than done, especially if people are used to paying $50 a month and now you're trying to double or triple that. But
I'm worried. Yeah. I'm worried that sometimes, you know, especially I think that's everybody's concern right now with like the speed of some of the tools and AI and things like that, they're going to want to, like you said, bring down the budget, bring down the costs, bring down the overhead in ways and go with something that's less. So it's not, I don't know how easy it is. Maybe there's a ton of people that are like, no, it's so easy to like budget in subcontractors, but I find people, especially this last year, being a little more tight and pinching with their pockets than have previously.
Yeah. Well, and something I learned from selling cars back in the day, 20 years ago or so, is that, you know, every customer has a different thing that's important to them. It's like one of three things. It's either, you know, what's my monthly payment, what's my interest rate, or what's the total cost. And so if you can figure out which one is most important to that person, then you can spin it in a way that is more digestible to them. So if you know that they're just stuck on this, you know, we have a company policy, we can't pay more than $100 an hour, sorry, then okay, $100 an hour, but maybe you're charging more hours than you normally would. And you try to get them more on a fixed base. It's like, this is based on $100 an hour. Maybe normally if you were in the zone and everything went perfect, you could do it in 10 hours. Well, don't say it's $100 an hour, but it's going to take you 20 hours, because then that adds some padding for the unknown. You know, like they have more revisions than you thought, or you need to bring in some other help because it comes to down to the last minute. And I think it's, you know, listening to people like Chris Doe, you know, he is a proponent of kind of getting away from the hourly rate thing. And it's more about, this is the price for this type of a project.
The value of
take it or leave it. Yeah. And
essentially he sees it as like, what value are you driving to, like the total gross cost of the whole thing? And because it's like, I'm a fraction of what the full impact of the project will be. Right. So,
Yeah. And so, you know, and over time you can build proof points and say things in a better way, like, you know, you know, to your point about AI, I've seen some proof points recently about like copy written by AI that takes, you know, the person who's trying to craft it like 60 minutes of back and forth with ChatGPT to kind of get their messaging done, and it might take the professional copywriter 2 hours. You know, it's not a huge difference, but like the performance of AI written content compared to a professional writer, it's like, you know, the click-through rate is 60% higher over here or something, you know. And I think the more the AI becomes an issue, we're going to find more of those proof points. It doesn't have to be our experience. We can say, you know, point to the so-and-so says that this, or and that'll help with selling things.
I saw a fun report about ChatGPT. It was either 3.5 or 4, that essentially 60% of the text that it spits out is completely plagiarized at this point, where full plagiarism. So it's not something I think you can rely on, you know, exactly. Yeah. But well, good things. Go ahead, finish your point.
Yeah, I was just gonna kind of close the loop on the subcontractor thing. Is there's going to be projects like some animated thing that you just have the tools, you have the plugin set up, you've worked with this client before. It's going to be much easier for you to do it, and you know what you're capable of. But then, because you've been planting these seeds with other clients, and someone comes to you with a PowerPoint project, you have somebody that you can then give that to and maybe subcontract that stuff first, even subcontract your website or things for yourself. You know, you're actually kind of almost hiring somebody to do these things, and if you find the right relationships, maybe it's more of a trade type of thing. Like, hey, I know you're good with, you know, web development. I kind of designed this out. Could you build it for me? And then, you know, I'll trade those hours and help you with an animated logo for your personal thing down the road that I know you'll want to do.
Right. So when one thing that came to mind just now a little bit, I have another idea to talk about, but you spawned another question in my mind. Is what about the people that have been essentially joining the game here during like post pandemic, during more online, during more with all these tools, more virtual, more versus, I mean, you and I, we've had a lot where we've been physically in an office, physically in a creative studio and so forth. And having those connections obviously spread and give us lots of great times with and build friendships and relationships and things like that. But you were mentioning that you sometimes talk to people or meet people, say on LinkedIn or through people that find you, say on Instagram or other social media, YouTube, and so forth, and or that contact you because they've visited your website. How much of subcontracting are you doing that's beyond just the people that you've always worked with in the past versus people you find now, like say post-pandemic, digitally, just through talking and seeing fun work, talking to them, maybe hanging out? And then if so, how often are you just like, some people are obviously distance, you know, there's lots of distance between, but how often are you actually trying to get together and solidify a good like creative relationship that could then spread into more and more work and more subcontract and so forth? Because I typically use people I've really worked with and I can rely on and trust, right? But I do feel like, and I'm sure everybody does that. However, I do think it's important to try to make more and try to get more and try to spread more. And sometimes that has to happen digitally. So what advice would you give to someone who's started this game and they've never actually been in a creative studio, and they've just been doing this remotely this whole time. Yeah. How do they subcontract? How do they find that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a hard one, because that's one of the most valuable things that I have right now is my network, and it came from years of rubbing shoulders with people, being in the trenches, you know, being able to count on them to deliver in hard circumstances, and then you build up that kind of rapport and history and knowing that that's someone you can turn to. So if someone is starting out, I don't think there's any real shortcut for that kind of relationship. And so you're going to run into kind of some risks, and there's going to be some gamble. So I think it's the same thing with if you're hiring as a big organization and you're just hiring someone off the streets who submitted a resume versus someone who is a solid referral from another trusted person internally, you're going to have to go through a lot more interviews or a lot more kind of exploration before you pull the trigger. So, you know, and I've heard of people doing this like through Fiverr or some of those tools where it's like, okay, maybe I'll get lucky and I'll stumble across somebody who actually delivers, and they can, and it's, you know, that's kind of known as the place where you can get someone pretty cheaply. And so you throw some stuff their way that isn't urgent and it isn't high level, but you're starting to build that relationship. So like an example would be, hey, I've got this website homepage that needs to be designed. It's due in 2 weeks. I'm going to reach out to a Fiverr person, and I'm getting paid $1,000 for this homepage design. I'm going to reach out to a Fiverr person and tell them I've got 2 days and I got a $200 budget or something. And then they, worst case scenario, they give me something that I can't use. Well, I won't try that person again, but I'm only out $200. I'm going to end up having to do it myself and not, you know, slightly less profitable. But on the chance that that person delivers in that time frame and exceeds your expectations, then it's like, oh, wow, I just made $800 profit on this thing and I don't have to do any work on it. And now I'll go to that person again. And so I think, and there's enough people that are hungry on there from other countries, or they are new themselves,
right,
to where that's a way to do it. And then that might scare us. You know, I mean, you bring up the idea of AI and these new tools and being able to do things quicker. And it was kind of like when the computers first came out and graphic designers were used to hand cutting things and placing letters, and they develop these skills of being able to hand letter things, and that set them as apart. But now they have a computer that can do it perfectly. But it's still, you know, the idea, even back in the 80s when that was starting, was like, oh, you just get on the computer and you push a button and it does it for you. Mm-hmm. Just like AI, that's kind of the perception is like, yeah, you just jump on Midjourney and you tell them you need a 10-page white paper on this product with all of these matching graphics and spit it out in this format, PDF format. You know, it doesn't work that way. And then you, as if I'm a CEO trying to save money, you start to realize like, wow, I'm spending all this time trying to learn the ins and outs of how to use this tool, and it's taken me too much time. I wish I would have just hired a professional that can do it in a fraction of the time and it's done right.
I think with AI, it's like it really does come down to the fact that the best like things that will set it apart are creative artists behind it functioning and making the calls and taking it and using it as a beginning point or a starting point or foundation, and then pushing it further to, you know, quickly so that they are fast and efficient. And I can see, I think we're all safe in that regard of what is possible. Obviously, there's some pain points to it, to where it, I think it does take away some simple things or has shortened or made certain jobs obsolete, right? Where rotoscopers don't have nearly as much to do because AI does it so fast or so, you know. And so it's kind of altering those jobs a bit, but I do think ultimately you still don't want to trust some person that's not professional to just get behind the wheel and drive it and then think that it's good enough to sell versus true creative or marketing team or whatever that and creative studio that can give it that intent and that purpose and that connection. So
and to your point from earlier, you know, a lot of it is just plagiarized, essentially pulling from existing artwork or copy out there from articles that could put your client at risk, you know, for being sued or something, because, you know, it's obvious that it was, even though they didn't intentionally steal it from their competitor, you know, ChatGPT did or whatever, or and so it's still kind of the Wild West out there. And yeah, I agree, you know, designers aren't going to be replaced by AI. They're going to be replaced by designers who know how to use AI or whatever. That's hard for me to get excited about, because I don't, but to your point, there are so many things like rotoscoping or maybe retopology in 3D or, you know, filling in some.
Although some of those things are things that people would rather have be fast and painless, you know, and I love something that can just auto retopologize versus having to go through it myself or smart UV unwrap, and I don't have to go through this whole way of doing that, right?
Well, and I think it just continues to raise the bar, because now that you're getting a lot of that stuff for free, you can charge the client less or even the same amount. But then, rather than just getting, you know, because I spent all this time doing the busy work, I didn't have enough time to do the polish. It's like we're starting from this great place, and now it's all polish, and we're able to push the bar and things look like they were, you know, made by Pixar, but now it's just one or two people can do it or something.
Sure. Yeah. So real quick, I all of this has made me think a little bit about, you know, we I think we try to improve every year. We're trying to take the new year and do better, not be the same in the sense of, you know, our goals or what we need to learn or what we need to accomplish creatively, personally, and so forth. And ultimately, like, I have been working far more than I ever have, I think, which was intentional. I wanted to push myself further, but I've also noticed, like, with what you're producing and all the content you're producing, I was curious, as a little bit of a, say, like a little bit of a, we're past the first quarter of the year now. It's a good time to reassess, not so much going back as to like any resolutions or goals, but just, are you finding that you're accomplishing what you set out to do this year? Have you pushed yourself, or is there stuff that you're still pushing on? And I'm curious, because I noticed you started new things down LinkedIn. You started like a great new series of like walking and talking. And how much return has that brought you as far as on LinkedIn or Instagram, and which platform between any of the social, YouTube, so forth, are you seeing the most volume of views and viewership or content and comments?
Good question. I would definitely say, you know, LinkedIn 100%. By far the most valuable tool that I have, because
I'm glad you said that
earlier. There's the ability to reach out direct message with a warm lead of yours, and it might be, you know, hey, this person, and you, and they may not have any power or sway in the company, but you might just be able to reach out and just say, hey, congrats on the job. That's exciting. You know, if you know anyone at your new organization or somewhere else that that's looking for some awesome animation or whatever, just know I've got some availability or whatever. And that has been, you know, life-changing. I mean, it's been like a conversion rate of 70-80%. You know, if I send out 10 of those, 8 or 9 people respond, and awesome. 7 of those original 10, I get some kind of work out of it. It seems like it's like that high. I mean, I think eventually, you know, it'll get lower because you've kind of exhausted those initial great leads. But if you're playing your cards right, then when you get introduced to a new person at this new company that your friend went to go work from, then they become an advocate of yours, and then they go somewhere else. Or after you've completed a good project with them, you're always saying like, you know, I'm so glad you're happy with this. Who else do you know who would benefit from this kind of work? And they're like, oh, you know what? Actually, I've got a friend I worked with at Qualtrics that now does this. You know, I'll make an introduction. So sweet. So that's been by far the best. But as far as that kind of just social presence on LinkedIn, you know, making posts, doing the little full-time creative consulting diary vlog or whatever, it puts a face to who I am. I'm vulnerable in those. It helps people. It makes me more approachable, I think. And I've been amazed. I've had a lot of people comment on those and say that, hey, this is inspiring. It's helped me, you know, keep doing it. And so that's great.
Yeah.
But then also people that, you know, I don't have the exact numbers on it, but there's a handful of people a month probably who reach out and be like, oh, I didn't, you know, they'll DM me and they're like, oh, I didn't realize you're doing that. That's awesome. Maybe we should get lunch. Or I have a potential project. You know, let me email you with some details. And, you know, there's been a handful that have turned into full projects and it's been awesome. And then there's been some where I've sent a proposal and I never hear back, you know.
sure. Yeah.
But
no, that's really that's insightful and encouraging. I felt the same. I think people can use and find success in any of them, right? But it was, I'm surprised and happy you said it, just because I think it wasn't more than maybe a month ago or a few weeks ago that John Oliver or something on his show completely made a joke about LinkedIn still being a thing versus what, like, why are we still using LinkedIn? So, I feel like it's very alive and well and a strong tool, and people should really utilize it for exactly what you're saying. There's so much success there that you can't untap and need to, you know, build it just as much as any other resource you have and tool set. So it's really good to know.
Yeah. I mean, people, and that's the great thing, is people are getting onto LinkedIn with a business mindset, you know. There's so many companies or individuals that they've moved to a new place and now it's up to them to build a team, or they've maybe oversold themselves and they're just kind of flipping through like, who do I know that, oh wow, I forgot that this person does this. I wouldn't have thought to reach out if I didn't see their latest reel appear on LinkedIn in my feed, or
So staying relevant, whatever. Staying posting,
yeah. But awesome. To go back to your question about, like, here it is, we're through the first quarter of the year, and how do I feel like I've done as far as what I set out to do? You know, I definitely am hard on myself, and I feel like I've dropped the ball, honestly, in a lot of areas, like we talked about at the beginning. You know, my podcast, instead of being every 7 days, it's like 10 to 16 days now, or you know, I was gonna post one of those vlogs once a week, and maybe it's closer to every 2 weeks now, or and then I still don't have my official creator.studio website live yet. And I look at some of these other social channels where I haven't posted in months, or so that's me being extra hard on myself. But I do recognize that from some, and this is the problem with social media in general, is people look at someone from the outside and think, oh, they've got it all put together. And
right.
We're all in a different spot in our lives.
There's always a filter. And there's always that filter of unreality or something, that needs to be, you got to take it with that grain of salt. You got to be easy on yourself too and forgive yourself. I feel like whenever you want to try to be hard on yourself, you actually need to probably sit and breathe and meditate and think and reflect on what have been some of the pitfalls or you know, stumbling blocks along the way, but how you can rebalance. And I mean, I know life has hit us in different ways, both in hardships and things, even recently. But I do think, like, what you do when you can just take a moment to not necessarily be hard on yourself, but to pause and take a beat and, you know, take a quarter, like maybe it's monthly, maybe it's quarterly, say, okay, this last quarter didn't happen the way it needed to. There was one or two things that bumped in the way, but now let's, like, I know, and make that goal for, like, by the end of this week or by the end of this month, I'll now have caught up with this, this, and this, right? Or I will put this small stepping stone by the end of this week, you know, or within 2 weeks. I like 2 week sprints too. Within 2 weeks, this is going to happen, because even within one, I find that there's so much disruption that I know that the problem is that sometimes there's the discouragement of, I didn't get it done in this week because of this disruption, and now I'm hard on myself. Yeah. Versus if I give myself the padding, like you're saying, even with, like, sometimes budget, give yourself some padding, you'll get it done. So, I think that, that we can reassess and say, hey, we're gonna rock this next quarter, or we're gonna readjust, and we'll find that we're bringing everything back into balance according to our goals. And by the end of the year, we're gonna look back and say, we actually did what we set out to do. So.
Well, and I appreciate that you brought that up, because I think that's super important. And your word about, your last thought about balance, is probably the area where, you know, if I would have prioritized things like exercise or waking up earlier or stepping away or telling myself, like, every day I'm gonna step away from the computer from this time to this time, I forget how important that is to help clear our mind and reset. And then when we come back, a lot of times, and you probably experienced this too, I'm three times more productive than I was as I was just trying to slog through something because I felt too guilty. Like, this is due in 2 days, and if I don't just stay behind the computer nonstop, it's never going to get done.
Yeah. I think of it like I have one of the worst blenders in the world. And if I just set it to one or two or whatever its setting is, it'll spin, it'll start to get hot, and we'll want to shut down. So I have to, like, give it in little tiny little, not like pulses, but, you know, to, like, get the heavy stuff down, and then when it finally gets a little more smooth, then I can just, like, leave it on and it gets flowing. But I feel like we can almost make an analogy out of that too, where if you're not, you're gonna burn out. Like, you're burning out the engine of the blender. You're going to burn out if you just don't step away or give it a break, or I pull it out and I shake it and then I put it back on and I start again and it does it. And we got to shake it up, you know, we got to shake it up. So, Anyways,
yeah, and
I do want to talk real quick, shortly, if you have some
time.
One way
that we can do that, and it's a scary thing, and we talked about it a little bit, is... you're good?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah, I think there was just a glitch or two there, but yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead with your
thoughts. Yeah, I mean, one way that we can ensure that we're have time for ourselves and can step away for a minute is to make sure that we're charging enough. And it's scary because, yeah, you might lose a client or two. I remember seeing on social media recently this designer who was playing both parts of this thing where this younger designer was coming to the older designer and he was like, I doubled my rate and I lost half my customers, you know? And the older designer was like, right, you lost half your customers and you doubled your rate. And so now you're making the same amount in half the time, basically. And yeah. It's like, yeah, exactly. And then eventually, you know, it'll build back up and you do it again. You know, not that this economy can sustain doubling your rate every month or whatever, but
right. There's
some wisdom to that. And that's where I think, because like you and I were real proficient in certain programs, and so we're going to be maybe four times faster than somebody else, or we just, you know, someone might just have to really spin their wheels on something for a while. And so should we get punished and do have to compete at those rates of that lower person, and they charge 10 hours and you charge 4 and the client gets it for a lot cheaper? Instead, it's like, what is this worth? And and that's why I think it's important to, you can base your pricing on a certain hourly rate, but then you kind of communicate to the client like, okay, this is going to be $2,000, and this incentivizes you as the designer, like if I can get this done in $1,000 worth of time, then this has been real profitable for me. If it takes me, you know, $2,500 worth of time, then I'll chalk it up to learning, and we agreed and they got a good deal that time, and next time I'll pad it even more. So thanks again to my boy Trevor for joining me on what I think has been an awesome episode. And so hopefully, you know, you can maybe commiserate or learn or be inspired by some of the things we talked about today, you know, to maybe help you take your journey of full-time creative consulting to, you know, the next level. Or maybe we got it wrong. Maybe you have some ideas on how we could do it better, which, you know, I'm all ears. Please, you know, DM me, drop something in the comments, let me know what you're thinking, and heck, we'll bring you on the little program here. You can set us straight, because in the end, we're just doing the best we can, you know. Something that works for me may not work for you. Something that works for Trevor may work for you. Who knows? But that's what this is all about. Sharing, you know? Like, let's learn from each other's mistakes so that maybe you can gain, we can all gain a little wisdom without the scars. So until next time, my friends, just keep on creating. Create or die.